Good afternoon. Move this up a little bit, vertically challenged. Okay, here we go. I have no financial relationships to disclose. One day, hopefully, my disclosure slide will change. Okay, so a little bit of background. In terms of teen dating violence, the literature has shown that it is linked to poor mental health outcomes. In terms of those outcomes, we look at these particular teens that experience this violence are more likely to report depression, anxiety, and trauma symptoms. These victims also report unhealthy behaviors such as engaging in alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, sexual risk behaviors such as unprotected sex or having multiple sex partners, suicidal ideation, and poor academic performance. In terms of these relationships where there's violence, of course these relationships are unhealthy with these adolescents. What we're seeing today in terms of trends is that the violence is often masked by social norms. So when you look at the media, you see the glamorization of different violence in relationships, arguing, fighting, and it's becoming the norm. And teens are really looking at this in terms of these are the things that are supposed to happen in relationships. So the violence is being masked. Also, we have the advances in technology. They're also setting a new norm. So when you're looking at social media, maybe there is some violence coming across in terms of comments on someone's Facebook status or maybe through Twitter or other social media. And then with the smartphones, oftentimes you have these adolescent relationships where maybe one partner buys the other partner a phone. And with that, there's some type of control there in terms of being able to say to one partner, being able to, I guess, monitor their usage or constant calling and also maybe sending threatening messages through text messaging. And what we find is that emotional, psychological violence is the most common type of dating violence. And when there's about one-third to three-quarters of youth who date that report perpetrating this type of violence against a dating partner at least once. So in terms of the gaps that exist in teen dating violence prevention, little is known about what works to prevent teen dating violence in urban communities with high crime and economic disadvantage. Also, local public health agencies often are not primary agents for dating violence prevention programming in communities. And then there's a lack of local data on teen dating violence, which limits communities' ability to monitor and track this problem. So my presentation is going to be about Dating Matters, which is the CDC funding Teen Dating Violence Prevention Initiative. When you're looking at the data, there was a survey of United States high school students. And what they found were that 1 in 5 women, 1 in 5 females, and 1 in 10 male who date experienced some form of physical and or sexual teen dating violence over the past 12 months. Then in another survey, among adult victims of rape, physical violence, and or stalking by intimate partners, 1 in 5 females and 1 in 7 males first experienced some form of partner violence between the ages of 11 and 17. So one of the things that this curriculum focuses on is trying to stop violence before it even starts. The initiative focuses on 11 to 14 year olds who reside and go to school in high risk urban communities. The curriculum focuses on mental health, physical health, and school performance. And it's very important to focus on this early intervention because what we find is that violence in adolescents, relationships, it sets the stage for future problems and future relationships. And these problems include intimate partner violence and sexual violence perpetration and or victimization throughout life. And so the early intervention is needed to stop the violence in youth relationships before it begins and to keep it from continuing into adult relationships. So in terms of promoting healthy relationships, we see that the focus is reflecting the shift in public health from an emphasis on disease prevention to one of health promotion. So this initiative right now is in a 5-year demonstration phase from 2011 to 2016. And with this initiative, the CDC is examining the cost, the feasibility, the sustainability, and the effectiveness of this comprehensive approach to prevent teen dating violence. The initiative is currently taking place in 4 urban areas in Baltimore, Chicago, Fort Lauderdale, and Oakland. In the first 3 cities, they are having this program implemented in 12 schools, and then in Oakland, 9 schools. So with this initiative, one of the goals is to develop, implement, evaluate, and disseminate this comprehensive approach, because we want to be able to promote respectful, nonviolent dating relationships and also decrease emotional, physical, and sexual violence among youth in high-risk urban communities. Another goal of the initiative is to build local public health capacity by implementing evidence-based and evidence-informed violence prevention strategies. And then lastly, identifying and validating community-level indicators. So this particular initiative is focused on this socio-ecological model. And as you can see, it's a comprehensive, community-driven approach. So it's looking at areas of the individual, relationship, community, and societal levels. Because as we know, when you're looking at behaviors that adolescents engage in, yes, we can talk to them about ways to prevent different things, but as we know, there are things that are outside of the teen, there are things that are beyond their control. So we have to look at these other macro level factors. And so that's why we're looking at this has this multi-level approach. So the prevention strategies are for individuals, peers, families, schools, and neighborhoods. The programming is for youth, parents, and educators of youth in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. In terms of the individual, it's looking at different things. There are factors in terms of age, education, income, substance abuse, and history of becoming aggressively or experienced abuse. With relationships, it's focusing on close relationships and also exploring how relationships increase the risk of being a victim or becoming a perpetrator of violence, and looking at relationships with not only the intimate partners, but also the peers, family, and friends. And in terms of the community, it's exploring the settings in which social relationships take place. So looking at schools, workplace, and neighborhoods, and also being able to identify characteristics of those settings that are associated with becoming victims or perpetrators of violence. And then lastly, in terms of societal factors, looking at the climate in which violence is either encouraged or inhibited. So looking at those social and cultural norms, and also the health, economic, educational, and social policies that may impact these particular factors. One of the things about the curriculum is that it is implemented during school. The reason why is because it focuses on, since we said that violence is linked to poor academics, having it taken place during school will help with that in terms of the academic performance. And also, it dovetails with sex education and bullying and other types of prevention programs that exist in schools today. And then it also is a good way to be able to be uniform, and so that all youth are getting the same information at the same time. So in terms of the implications of the initiative, we would see, hopefully, a change in culture and social norms. These macro-level interventions will change the environments to foster healthy relationships. And with that, hoping to see an outcome that we will recognize a decrease in intimate partner violence that is influenced by a history of violence, and also a reduction in unhealthy behaviors and conditions linked to teen dating violence. One of the things I wanted to point out is, in terms of the educator, curriculum piece, there was an online training session. It's about 60 minutes, and I sat through the training. It was very interactive, and what it did was provide different scenarios of different relationships, and it focused on different factors that exist in relationships. So it talks about communication styles. It also talked about whether or not someone may have witnessed violence in the home. It also showed interaction between the couples, and also interaction and responses of peers if they witnessed that one partner was being emotionally abused or physically abused by another partner. So I thought that was very good, and it's very interactive. This particular infographic is showing, the trajectory in terms of how things can happen from if you're starting early. So we talked about the negative impact that happens when youth are experiencing violence, and how that can follow them into their future relationships, and how they can become a victim again as an adult, or maybe a perpetrator of violence. And so with this curriculum, hoping that if we start early, that we can infuse more of those characteristics that go along with healthy relationships, building trust, and then by starting early, that will also go through and continue through adolescence and carry on to adulthood. So these are my references and my contact information. I look forward to your questions. Thank you.